and WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the
ABC
Civic Media
News,
app.
I'm Andy Field. Trump White House advisor Peter Navarro found guilty of contempt of Congress for refusing to comply with a subpoena from the House January 6th committee. His attorney, John Ralley, says he'll appeal.
This is the first time that a senior presidential aide who has served his president for 4 years has ever been held in contempt of Congress.
Navarro, now the second Trump aide to face contempt of Congress charges. Steve Bannon, also convicted. Eastern Pennsylvania's Longwood Gardens closing early and the property evacuated as part of a search for escaped murder convict Danilo Cavalcante.
We're using people on foot. We have horses out there as well that are assisting with the search.
Lieutenant Colonel George Bivens of the Pennsylvania State Police. U.S. Open semifinal between Coco Gauff and Carolina Markova resume play after a lengthy disruption caused by protesting climate activists. At least one protester glued their feet to the ground. This is ABC News. The number of Americans applying for unemployment benefits last week fell to the lowest level in 7 months. Federal charges for a Florida man over a hamster contraption.
He was first spotted by the Coast Guard about 70 miles off the coast of Georgia. 51-year-old Raisa Pelucci trying to cross the Atlantic in a giant floating hamster wheel. He called it a hydropod and said he was on his way to England. The Coast Guard called it a manifestly unsafe voyage and told him to leave the wheel. Coast Guard reports saying Belushi first threatening to cut himself with a knife. Next day he said he had a bomb and was going to blow himself up. After 5 days and the arrival of two Coast Guard cutters, Belushi fessed up, no bomb. The Coast Guard finally getting Belushi off the wheel, charging him Tuesday with obstruction of boarding and other violations. Dave Packer, ABC News.
MacArthur Foundation and other donors pledging $500 million to help struggling local news outlets. Andy Field, ABC News.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
This is a conversation I had with the great Leonard Peltier. Please listen, and happy Indigenous Peoples Day.
All right, well, what can I do for you? I mean, is it good to get you letters? We can really promote that.
Well, right now they're, you know, they're Ruth Buffalo. She's a legislator from North Dakota. She's
good
been
friend.
Doing some awesome.
She's
well, as you know, she got the Democratic convention Democratic convention to pass a resolution demanding my freedom. Unanimous votes, and then she got to see Biden, and she only allowed to ask one question. She asked for him to free me, so he told her to give all the information to his aide.
Wow.
And, and so that's what we're but right now. We're working on. We're trying to help her. Some figure out how. You know, we got to try to help her, make sure she gets reelected.
Right.
But listen, Robert, I also think this is our time. This is where stuff finally started. Every Indian that's been running has been winning.
Yes.
Native, not Indian. Not that's from India.
Ah.
indigenous people, right? We just married, just come beat in Alaska. I think you know about
that
this.
That was crazy,
yeah.
First time in 50 years.
She beat Sarah Palin. Alaska conservatives, little darling.
Exactly.
And we're winning it. But anyway, I believe it's time for us to run her for congressman in North Dakota. I'm not congressman, governor. Governor.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think she can win. I think I really believe she can win.
Do you have anything to say to her? Because I can relay this.
I just talked to her the other. I talked to her too on the phone all the time.
Oh, excellent! Yeah. Excellent.
Excellent. I asked her this about a month ago. She would, you know, would she be considering running? But she said, "Oh, sure." You know, she needs help. She needs help. Yeah.
Huh? I was in a fundraiser for her a couple days ago, and people were talking about Senator. That would be cool.
Well, either one, that would be very, very useful too. That would be very helpful to our Native nations.
So, what can I do for you? What can I send you anything, or you know?
I'm in a very strict place, and there's very little I can do. But listen, I have low points. I should be in a camp, and now the government, the courts are saying, the prosecutors are saying I was found not guilty of murder because they don't know who the shooter is, and you know all this. But now that I'm guilty of aiding and abetting. Aiding and abetting is not even a violent crime.
You should have been out.
So I've done 47 years on a nonviolent crime.
I know.
But that's not true. It's just they're making it. That's all they're doing.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
they're just
making it up.
I feel so honored that you've called me. I just can't tell you.
Well, I'll be calling you a little bit often. I was just okay. Okay, then so I can reach you just about any time I call, right?
Exactly. And unless God, I just say something to my audience right now, and then I can put this on the air too.
Okay. Well, what we're doing right now is since Biden has asked the aide to get all of the information from to his aide, and then he's going to bring it to him. But we're trying to send a delegation up to go to Ruth as one. I want Ruth to go. Then the U.S. attorney, you know, publicly apologize to what he did to me at the trial. Unheard of, first time in history, blah, blah, blah. But, and I don't think maybe my lawyer or the tribal chairman, because they promised to build a house on my land if I get home, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, these are all the requirements to get out and you know, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I also told people, listen, let's help this move along. Let's get 100,000 letters to the president asking him to release me. Because there is no, and we've got to mention the case. The government can't just say, you know, we pray you'll release him. We can't just say it because the Pope has asked for my freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't see, and he's supposed to be a Catholic. So we need, some people are saying, the hell with that, let's get 200,000. I said, look, let's just go for 100 first, then we'll keep going, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I need people to help me that way. So please help me.
Yeah. Well, we'll get postcards out there set up and get the address to the president's office and make this happen. That's a great idea, and that's very simple for people to do.
Yeah. It is, you know, just cut some stamp in an envelope and a sheet of paper, but write legibly and make sure that, you know, just tell people. People should mention, instead of just pray that you let him out and all this stuff. Tell them you're outraged at what they did, because this is the Constitution they violated.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if they did this in the military, if they violated the way they did in the military, you know, they get executed.
Right.
You know.
Right.
You know. So I mean, that's how serious of offense it is.
Well, when you get out, it's going to be like Mandela, and the natives are all the natives. And Indians across Turtle Island are waiting for this to happen. So here's something tangible that they can do.
Well, I appreciate all that, and I'll do whatever I can when I get out. If I'm allowed to travel, got to remember, I'm going to probably be on some very strict order. I hope not, but I probably will. But if I don't, you know, I will go and speak to them. I will go and, you know, but I'm not going to stop helping my people. I've been at this all my life, ever since I was 9 years old when I went to boarding school. Mm-hmm. And, but right now I need some help. Take the time to write a letter on my behalf. And we need, let's get 100,000. Then some people are demanding 200,000. Then we'll go for the 200, you know, and more, because they're going to need the votes. They're going to need the support.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's what I need. That's what I need. I need people to help me. To help me now.
Right.
You know?
And they will, and I appreciate this. I think we're going to be cut off soon here.
Yeah, right. Pretty close.
But
pretty
quick. I'm going to put that on probably Wednesday. So when I edit this
up.
But wow, I am just feel so honored that you called, and I've been just following you. I was friends with Clyde Belcourt until he passed a couple years ago. You know all those guys, you know?
I know all of them. I was really close to Dennis and Vernon Belcourt. I was real close to them. I've been in a struggle since the 60s, bro. 50s, actually, because you know the Turtle Mountain Chippewa Reservation was the second reservation to be terminated. Menominees, then the Turtle Mountains, right? Yeah. We stopped them. I was only 13 years old, but my dad and them were all out there raising hell, took over the agency, took us there. You didn't even pay us for it. You stole from us. And now you want to take our little reservation? Okay, we're getting close. Yeah. Now you want to take our little reservation? No. That ain't going to happen without a fight, you know?
Well, with your
and work... That was 1958.
Well, with your work with the American Indian Movement made us young people proud to be Indian, and I want to say thank you.
We put our lives on the line for the people because we said, you know, what good is of it? We've seen what happened with the Indians that relocated to the cities and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen that. We said, we don't want that. And look how good we've done after we did start getting... funds of taking care of our own government and everything else like this. We got universities, we got colleges, we got vocational schools, we got homes for elders and retirement homes, and you know we're using that money. At least most of us are using that money to build a nation. We're not giving it out to.
That was Leonard Peltier. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
Alusa Nation.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Back to school season is here, and while this is an exciting time for parents, kids, and educators, let's not forget how far we've come in our battle against COVID-19. We're in a better place, but COVID-19 is still here, and we need to continue to help protect our communities. With the flurry of new schedules and classrooms, let's not overlook the fundamentals of staying safe. Wash your hands regularly and watch for any symptoms like fever, chills, a cough, or shortness of breath. Should you or someone you know have COVID-19 symptoms, stay home and get tested. Find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us. Let's have this back-to-school season be a time of renewed commitment to our collective health and brighter future for our Native communities. Again, find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're here with Rachel Thunder, who's doing the Leonard Peltier Walk for Justice, and we're just doing our weekly check-in, or every other day check-in. It's really exciting to see what you're doing. Welcome, Rachel.
Tante, Robert, and Tante to everybody who's listening. Thank you.
Where are you at as of, we're pre-recording this on Sunday, where are you at as of today?
So the walk is about 30 miles west of Toledo, Ohio, as of right now, and our goal is to get into Toledo tomorrow at the beginning of the day on Tuesday. We'll be having a rally Tuesday at a park there in Toledo, Ohio. That'll be at 2 p.m.
Yeah, that's cool. So just to let everybody know that isn't paying attention or just listening for the first time on our show, Rachel and the American Indian Movement Grand Council has done a walk or doing a walk that started in the Twin Cities and is going to end up in Washington, D.C. on November 14th. And that's a long way to walk, Rachel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we started on September the 1st. At Cedar Field, right there next to Little Earth on the south side of Minneapolis, and walking to Washington, D.C., like you said, Robert. It's about 2.5 months total of walking. It's 1,103 miles. We're averaging about 25 miles a day. They're a core group of walkers, and, you know, like you said, this walk is called Leonard Peltier's Walk to Justice. It's coming straight out of the American Indian Movement Grand Governing Council. You know, the walk is, you know, we call it the walk to justice because that's what we're asking for. We're asking for justice for Elder Leonard Peltier, for him to be free. But we're also asking for justice for our people, for the indigenous people, the true and original people of Turtle Island. You know, justice for them and all of these issues that we still face and have faced since the beginning of colonization. And, you know, Leonard, he represents a lot of those injustices, you know. They tried to make an example out of him. You know, they tried to say, you know, if you resist us and you resist the system and you resist colonization and, you know, you don't leave your traditional ways behind, then this is what's going to happen. And, you know, it didn't work. You know, even though Leonard is still in prison, their efforts and their attempts to silence and control our people, it didn't work because we're very much still here. We still have our traditional ceremonies. We still have our languages, our songs, our cultures, our people, our tribes were all intact. So, you know, their attempts, it didn't work. So, you know, the only thing that they can do now is let him go.
Exactly. And for you people out there listening, our white allies, and of course our Native brothers and sisters, Leonard was part of the American Indian Movement, which for me, being a 61-year-old man, really inspired a lot of us in my generation because we weren't always proud to be Native American. We hid in the bushes, so to speak, until this proud group of American Indian Movement people came out and said, enough's enough. And that's just a short version of it, Rachel.
Yeah, well, Leonard's been in prison for, you know, going on 47 years, 78 years old. I'm 31. You know, every single breath that I have taken, there's been a magic breath from Leonard behind prison walls, behind prison bars. You know, I grew up hearing the stories and hearing what happened. You know, I'm an Ames baby. I grew up in Ames. You know, my parents were in Ames. And, you know, it's far past time. You know, he's done over 47 years for a nonviolent crime for aiding and abetting. It's a nonviolent crime. He's been eligible for parole. You know, and like you said, too, you know, I heard you mention, like, our allies, you know, our white allies and other nation allies. You know, and to that I'll say that, you know, it is an indigenous issue as far as, you know, what Leonard represents to our people, but this is also a human rights issue, you know, as a human being, that if they can do this to a human being, they can do it to any human being. And I'm pretty sure you probably saw the United Nations Human Rights Working Group report that came out where they had 107 different points on how Leonard's basic human rights has been violated over the years. And they made a direct request to the United States government to respond to them by, I believe, middle of November of this year on what the status was of Leonard Peltier's release. So, and then there was the Democratic National Committee, too, you know, officially adding Peltier's clemency to to the Democratic platform, to the running platform, which is unheard of, to have a clemency request added to a party's platform. So you see, like, all of these things, you know, happening. You know, this walk is happening. All of these efforts across Turtle Island and the world for Leonard Peltier to be released. And, you know, I know, Robert, you're really big on the Native vote. And that's something that, you know, we've discussed, like, strategically as the movement and other, you know, entities and organizations and individuals and legal that we have talked to is, you know, it's really important for these officials that are in these positions of influence, members of Congress, to understand that, you know, they need the Native vote. They need the Native vote in these states. Where, you know, that these influential states like Arizona, like Michigan, like Wisconsin, the Native vote matters in those states. And if they want the Native vote, if they want Native vote to show out, then they need to start doing some stuff for Native people, like letting Leonard Peltier go. And I know they've got some really important elections coming up, and they might want to be thinking about that instead of just doing acts of tokenism for our people.
You know, that's a really good point. In the last presidential, I was at the Native American Presidential Forum, the first one ever in Iowa, and I was there as a reporter for my show, and I asked every one of the presidential candidates at the time, I just said, I'm going to say two words, and I want your response, and it was Leonard Peltier, and I got a lot of mumbo-jumbo. I had a few of them that didn't know. And so that's a really good point. We need to bring up these things that mean the most. You know, for me, it would be like having Mandela or, you know, get out of prison. This would rally us a big time in a good way and make us all feel good. And I think it's something, you know, Leonard's 78, you know. He's been in there 47 years. Give us this.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. And, you know, like, something that Leonard himself really advocates for is the importance of writing and calling the White House. So I know that we've had a lot of people reach out to us, like, about this walk, you know, I can't be there for whatever reason, which is, we understand there's a lot of reasons that people can't be here, but they ask, you know, what can we do? We say call and write the White House. If every single person who was listening to this radio show wrote a letter to the White House demanding the urgency of clemency for Leonard Peltier and demanding his release, you know, and making it an urgent matter, that could be really, really powerful. And so we understand that there's a lot of warriors out there and people who fight for the people, you know, that fight for all people, not even just our people. And, you know, we're putting that call out. You know, if you can't be here on this walk or you can't be present like at our rallies or in D.C., there's a lot of other things that you can do. And one of them and one of the most important things you can do is call and write the White House.
Yes, definitely. And earlier on in the show today, we're having Leonard. We had Leonard on, and that's what he said. We need 100,000 or 200,000 people, and everybody that's listening to the show and just into justice. Need to send the president, not prayers, remove, you know, at the end of our show, you know, Rachel, we always say free Leonard Peltier now. And that's huge because it's justice. Like you're doing there. It's justice.
Yep. Call and write the White House, you know, call and write your local members of Congress, you know, House members, senators, call and write people in the Bureau of Prisons, Department of Justice, all of those entities that are in those positions of influence to see Leonard's release, write them, put pressure on them. And like you said, Robert, not in a gentle way, because this is urgent. He is 78. He has type 2 diabetes. He has an abdominal aortic aneurysm, the fatal as it ruptures. He had a stroke that he lost 80% of vision in one of his eyes. Mm. You know, it's time to let him go home. It's past time. He should have never even been in there to begin with. The only thing that he's guilty of, in his own words, is fighting for his people.
Right. Well, hey, we're here with Rachel Thunder with Grand Governing Council of American Indian Movement, and she's on the Leonard.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom Ankrut. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Trump White House advisor Peter Navarro found guilty of contempt of Congress for refusing to comply with a subpoena from the House January 6th committee. His attorney, John Rally, says he'll appeal.
This is the first time that a senior presidential aide who has served his president for 4 years has ever been held in contempt of Congress.
Navarro, now the second Trump aide to face contempt of Congress charges. Steve Bannon, also convicted. Eastern Pennsylvania's Longwood Gardens closing early and the property evacuated as part of a search for escaped murder convict Danilo Cavalcante.
We're using people on foot. We have horses out there as well that are assisting with the search.
Lieutenant Colonel George Bivens of the Pennsylvania State Police. U.S. Open semifinal between Coco Gauff and Carolina Markova resume play after a lengthy disruption caused by protesting climate activists. At least one protester glued their feet to the ground. This is ABC News.
Three little words no parent wants to hear.
My tummy hurts.
And it always seems to happen at the worst times. Like in the middle of the morning rush, when you still have homework to check and lunches to pack, and of course, you're already late for work. Luckily, there's Pepto-Kids. New Pepto-Kids gummies helps relieve occasional stomach upsets, turning those three words into these three words.
I feel better.
Bad time for stomach upsets? Good time for new Pepto-Kids gummies. Fast support for little tummies.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Experience Nightlight, September 8th and 9th from 5 until 10:30 p.m. Presented by Joy Engine. The dazzling spectacle is an immersive 4D light festival taking place in Milwaukee's historic Mitchell Street neighborhood. Digital animations, dance, music, art, and fashion combine to create a visual, family-friendly sensory experience outside of 710 West Historic Mitchell Street, home of Mitchell Street Arts. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event. Nightlight, where art comes to life. Information at joyengine.org.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families.
Eat Local Minnesota is a great way to find locally owned restaurants and food purveyors. They feature high quality food and unique eating experiences for your next meal. Some of those restaurants include Half A Latte and Scotcha Mama's Hot Barbecue. Find a full list of all of our restaurants and food purveyors at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda. And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hi, Bushu, Anin, everybody. This is Ogamaganua Kwe on Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Happy Indigenous Peoples Day to all of you. This is going to be a best of show, and we're kind of taking it easy for Indigenous Peoples Day. So without further ado, we are going to have a replay of our interviews with Bobby Wilson, Bobby Wilson Dews, who is Reservation Dogs and Rutherford Falls writer and actor. So here, have a listen.
Well, I'm really excited to have Bobby Wilson. You know, a 1491er, also Rutherford Falls, and he's got his hands involved in a lot of different things in Hollywood. And I'm just really excited. I want to talk a little bit about what Bobby's doing and you know, how this experience was with Rutherford Falls and all those great things. I'm just really excited to have Bobby Wilson, the character of Wayne from Rutherford Falls and the writer in the first season. Welcome, Bobby. And you're from the Twin Cities. That makes our heart proud, too. Great. Thank you so much for being on Native Roots Radio.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Mr. Pilots.
That's right. Well, that's right. We crossed paths back in the 90s there as a teacher. I think I was going outside to smoke a cigarette, and I think you
were. What was I?
Yeah, you were coming in from smoking a cigarette, so what different times we had. But, hey, really excited. I love your work, and really you wrote a show. You wrote one of the shows of Rutherford Falls, but also your character's fun. And tell us a little bit how you got hired or how they found you.
Yeah, I well, the showrunner, Sierra Teller Ornelas, she's Navajo. I had done like a panel with her that she was a moderator of, that was centered around like the work of the 1491s back in Santa Fe. And that was years ago. And like we kind of had crossed paths here and there, but you know, like Indian country is very small. So, I would just kind of always see her around, and I knew that she was writing in Hollywood, and I always was like, every time I got to see her, I'd be like, how come nobody like knows who you are? Like, you know, I go to all these Indian conferences with the 1491s to do, like performances or what have you. And like every time, people are like talking about representation and I bring up, Sierra Teller Ornelas being a network comedy writer, people are like, who's that? I've never heard of that. And I'm like, well, freaking like get familiar, you know, like she's a beast and she's been working at this for a long time. And so she got her own show with Mike Schur and Ed Helms. And she had reached out to a couple of us from the 1491s. We had written a play called Between Two Knees at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival in Ashland, Oregon. Yeah. It's a familial intergenerational love story that takes place beginning at the massacre of Wounded Knee and culminating at the occupation of Wounded Knee. So everything that happens between those knees is what we see. And she thought she says she loved it. She says she loved it. And so she reached out and asked if I had any writing samples because she had a show that she was trying to put a writing staff together for. And I was like, oh, yeah, I do. I have stuff that I've written just by myself. So I sent it to her. I basically had a job interview with her and Ed Helms. And then on my birthday, November 3rd, 2019, she sent me a message, again, all completely over Instagram, saying that I was hired and that I should get a lawyer to negotiate my contract.
Wow, so, that's totally awesome. Yeah, tell us a little bit about your character, because I love the character. There's you and a lady working at the casino. I just love it. And just kind of being a kind of a narrative towards one of the lead characters. I just love it. Can you tell us a little bit how that came about? Was there any typecasting?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, whenever we was coming up with this character, Wayne, it's Wayne and Sally. And, like, I guess they're probably like kind of cousin, brother, sisters. Like we've been very fluid with like how everybody's related in the show, as we should be, because that's just how it is. But Wayne is kind of grumpy, but also like the subtext is that he genuinely cares about Regan and what it is that she's doing. That's why he gives her shit, is because he loves her. Wayne and Sally, they both treat her like garbage. Even though like it's a little bit like where we talk about crabs in a bucket, we talk about this like Indian jealousy type of thing. We try to touch on those things sort of without calling it that, except in the season finale, we finally actually call it crabs in a bucket. I love that character, though. All those characters.
Well, I love the fact, and I don't know, we were talking before the show, so I don't know if I mentioned this. I love the fact because I feel like it really has a lot of heart, and it reminds me a lot of Smoke Signals. And in one way, too, there's so much going on. I'm going, I got to watch that again because there's a lot of information coming out here. And during every episode, I was like really surprised. I'd go to my wife. I go, did you hear what he just said? You know, so it's really good because I feel like it's amplifying Native voice. We're still here in a good way.
Yeah, in a good way. Oh. Wise words from Choka Robert. I'm not Ho-Chunk, but I always like that word.
Right. And you're my Chushka, my nephew. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit. I know your time's valuable, and let's talk a little bit about the other things you're working on, because this Monday, right, there's another series, a Native-centric series that you're involved in. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, hell yeah. Reservation Dogs on FX. I'm so excited for the premiere. Like, I'm so very excited for so many different reasons that would take like a day to tell you about. But like, I, as one of the writers, I get like access to what they call the dailies. And the dailies are just like, it's just when they dump all of the footage onto this server at the end of the day. And I'm allowed to like watch them. And, you know, it's just raw cuts. So it's like every single scene and it's like them setting it up and blah, 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 blah. But you really get like to see the performances of the actors and whatever. I intentionally didn't watch any of them. Ooh. Because I wanted to experience this as a weekly release. I want this to be one of my shows that because I love that experience. I have like only a couple shows that still do that, you know, that I get to wait for. I'm like, yeah, here comes Saturday. Like, I'm going to watch my show. And, you know, with a lot of streamers, they just dump the whole season on. And you can binge it in, like, a day or two, you know, if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm very excited to experience this show every week because it is unlike anything I have ever seen on television.
Hey, the trailers are rocking. I'm just going, wow, what? What?
I know.
And being a big fan of Reservoir Dogs, I mean, yeah. Seeing the suits and everything, I'm going, hey, what's the deal here? But, wow, totally excited. So what are the 1491ers doing?
We're all hired. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. We're doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah. You're good. Yeah. Ogama, do you have a question at all?
You know, I didn't have a question, but I did want to pop in, you know, talking about Rutherford Falls and the 1491s and those kinds of things. It's really an experience as a Native person to say, they just said that on TV. It takes your breath away because it's these things that are so familiar to us in our lives that are almost never portrayed accurately on the big screen. So it's breathtaking, the kind of work that you're doing. It's really beautiful, and I truly appreciate it. I've been talking about we need more real Native representation in media for a long time. So thank you for your work.
Well, and then the episode that you wrote was called
Skoden.
Oh, yeah. Right on. We won't talk about that, though. We'll keep that on the low pro, but all our Natives know what's up. So how is that experience? I mean, how is it an experience? Because you're going to be writing for Reservation Dogs, too, right? And how's that experience? We only got a minute left, but how's that experience thinking up an idea, putting it on paper, and then seeing it on – on video or on the screen. How is that experience? Is that like, wow?
Mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing, man. I mean, like, you do all this stuff. Like, I don't know, it's all in your head. You write it, you edit it, you talk about it. And, like, the writing experience is you write for 20 weeks. And, like, you just hope that it's still funny by the end of that. Because by then you've edited all the jokes. And you're like, is this still a good story? I remember laughing when I first came up with this. And then you see the actors bring it to life. You see all the people involved in the production. Hundreds of people put this stuff together. They literally built a casino interior in Hollywood, you know?
Yeah.
It looked like a cheap-ass casino. And it looked so good.
Right.
I remember I walked in there, and I was just like, I couldn't believe it. Like, I had goosebumps by how incredible it was to see this thing form and become reality, and then to, like, turn it on TV and, like, watch it with my daughter, and she's like, looked at me, she looked at the TV, she's like, what's going on here? Like, it's truly phenomenal, and it's mind-blowing.
Well, let's talk about Reservation Dogs, and we gotta fly. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and Bobby, that's coming up this Monday, right?
It's coming up this Monday, filmed entirely on location in Oklahoma, the Muskogee Creek Nation. Ooh, I'm not one of them, but, you know, I go there a lot, so.
Petey Geegee for being on.
P. Damaya for having me.
Upfront Minnesota is the state's largest LGBTQ+ advocacy organization, and they're celebrating our state's accomplishments protecting our LGBTQ+ neighbors. This is especially important as surrounding states are passing legislation targeting our trans community. But here in Minnesota, we made it clear. You belong here. Minnesota's LGBTQ+ rights have taken a significant step forward with the conversion therapy ban and the Trans Refuge Bill, helping reshape the national discourse. The trailblazers who once championed same-sex marriage a decade ago continue propelling Minnesota towards an even brighter future. To celebrate these accomplishments, Outfront Minnesota is hosting their annual gala, where we bring in together more than 700 guests at Allianz Field on Thursday, September 14th. The event celebrates a year of legislative wins while honoring diverse communities propelling Minnesota forward into next year. Again, that's Thursday, September 14th at Allianz Field with a dinner at 6 and party at 8. So come celebrate Minnesota's progress on LGBTQ+ rights and order your tickets at outfront.org.
Be a vaccinative. It's time to come together and talk about the urgent need to stay up to date on COVID-19 vaccinations to protect our heritage, our loved ones, and our future. Throughout history, we have always faced challenges, and today we must protect our culture and loved ones. This is our opportunity to ensure that our tribal gatherings once again resound with joy and celebration, where the echoes of our ancestors guide our steps. It's a chance to care for our elders, cherishing their wisdom and stories for generations to come. COVID-19 vaccines are safe and effective. Let us unite, resilient as ever, and show the world the strength of the Native American community. Together, we shape a future where our traditions thrive, our children learn from our ancestors, and our people flourish once more. So be a vaccinative and learn more about staying up to date with your COVID vaccinations at health.state.mn.us. That's health.state.mn.us. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
We're so blessed here to have Bobby Wilson of Rutherford Falls, 1490 Earners, and also of Reservation Dogs. And let's finish up our conversation a little bit, Bobby. Thank you so much for being on again. Let's finish up we're wrapping up the season of Rutherford Falls, and you're about to do some voiceover work, some dubbing. And then how fun is this, Mr. Hollywood, huh?
Oh, man, you know, how fun is it? Shoot, man. I can't quantify it, but these are the best days of my life.
Right on, right on. So how many shows Rutherford Falls is going to have when their season opens? Is it eight again?
Yeah, it's an eight episode season.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, that's going to Reservation Dogs, and I know that's a huge hit in you guys were re-upped for another season. I think I guess my first question is, how did it feel working with Mr. Farmer? I mean, I'm like enamored with you, but I can't imagine working with him and thinking nothing but smoke signals.
Yeah, man, Gary Farmer is a legend, not just for Indians, but for white people who are super into cinema. Gary Farmer is still a legend. I mean, look at his filmography, you know? Dead Man, the Jim Jarmusch film from way back, starring him and Johnny Depp. And really, more than Johnny Depp, that is Gary Farmer's movie. He's incredible in, like, everything that he does. And so, like, he's actually in an episode of Rutherford Falls Season 1. He plays my uncle. We don't actually interact together in that episode, but I remember the set writer, and mind you, this man, the set writer, the production writer that day, he was like a joke writer for Kimmel. He was he's been writing on big network comedies for many, many years, and he comes to me and he says, "Dude, like, that's Gary Farmer, and I want to give him a note, but also, like, I kind of don't. I'm a little bit scared to talk to him." I'm like, "Why are you scared to talk to him?" He goes, "Are you kidding me? Have you seen Dead Man? Like, that's Gary Farmer." I was like, "Oh, yeah, okay." So it was fun. Like, I think if this was my first time with him, I might have been a little bit more nervous. But I've had weird, like, run-ins with Gary Farmer because he's just that legendary over the years. The first time I ever went to Santa Fe, New Mexico, I saw him perform as Gary Farmer and the Troublemakers, his band. Wow. And he was like his own roadie, and me, Sterling Harjo, and Ryan Redcorn got like shamed into, like, because we were like standing there watching him, and it was like, "Wow, man, how old do you think he is? Look at that, he's so big, he's like carrying all his own equipment still." And somebody says, "Well, go over there and help him. That's your elder." And we were like, "Oh, shit." We all got up. And we went over, helped him out. And I was like, "Wow, that's Victor's dad." And then, you know, I would always see him just like randomly in places. I ran into him once in the Twin Cities at the Indian Center. I like freaking seen him just like on the streets in Santa Fe, just bopping around. And then to have him in Reservation Dogs was absolutely phenomenal. I had been in love with this character already, Uncle Brownie. Like, I knew exactly, like, this is gonna be amazing. This is such a crazy character, and what a, like, to get Gary Farmer to play that character, what a blessing, what a trip. And I'll tell you what, man, that scene, I'm smoking him down, you know, he's trying to sell me his old weed that he found, that he buried in his lawn, like, years ago, you know what I mean? And, sorry, I said I wouldn't cuss, I keep forgetting, it's just my natural way of speaking. But, so he goes to the dispensary, and my character, Jumbo, is like, "I can't buy this, man," like, or no, I test it out, and it just, like, kills my throat. I'm just,
like, harsh dog.
And he's like, "Good stuff, yeah." And yeah, I'm like, "No, man, no, I can't buy this, you know, and it's an antique." And then Paulina Willie Jack, she goes, "Hey, Jumbo, like, why don't you smoke Uncle down?" And I'm like, "Oh, I got something for you." I pull out this big bong, and you know, it's funny, like, on the set, we're not smoking actual, like, THC weed, but we are smoking weed, but it's like the O'Doul's of weed. It's just CBD. It's purely CBD. There's no, like, whatever the stuff that gets you stoned in it.
Yeah.
But it's actual, like, weed and plant, you know? And so, mm-hmm, like, we stuff it in there. And Gary tells me right before we start filming that part, goes, "I can't just fake it. I can't fake it. That doesn't It's not going to look good. It's not going to look good. And, you know, people are like, you don't have to hit it. You don't have to hit it, Gary. It's it's fine. Like, he's got an actual lighter. He can actually hit it. It's a real bong. And he's like, they're like, we'll just, you know, with effects, we'll make the smoke come out. It'll look real. And he's like, no, it's going to look bad. It's going to look bad. So I'm actually going to hit it. And I see him go for it. He fills that whole bong full of smoke all the way up. And I'm like, oh my, fills the whole bong up. He pulls that sucker out and he freaking clears it. All the smoke goes up and he just like coughs his smoke everywhere. And like inside I'm going, oh my God, like this man is going to die. But I don't want to mess up the scene because he just did this crazy thing. And so I'm just like, hey, you know, really just trying to play into it and not ask him if he's okay and wants to sit down. And he looks at me in his eyes. He's just like, there's just tears running down his eyes. There's snot coming out of his nose. He's drooling. And he goes, it's good stuff.
That's awesome.
Poor guy.
That's awesome, though.
Yeah, no, it was amazing.
You know, from the days of Powwow Highway to, you know, it's just, it's really great
to
see.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Way-o, way-o.
Can you hear me?
Everybody say way-o. Yeah, I can hear you.
Good. Okay, go. Wow. Bobby, that was a great story. Just working with those icons and the Native American voice getting out there in comedy. And I just want to say thank you so much for doing that. We got another minute or two here. Can you just, are you excited for Reservation Dogs like I am? What's the vibe going on?
Oh man, I am so freaking pumped about season two. It is bananas. Like getting a second season of a show, like gives you so much permission to do so much more, especially with how successful season one was of Reservation Dogs. It's like, going into we start filming in Oklahoma in mid-March, and we're going to go until May. I get to be on set this whole time as a production writer, which I'm super pumped and super nervous for, but it's going to be great. I can't wait. You know, I got Miguel Z. Pensino and Tazma Chavez as my cohort for production writers, so... You know, they've got a lot of seasoned experience on me. So I'm so freaking excited to see how insane this thing is.
If you need an old Ho-Chunk to come down and do a cameo, let me know. I'll fly down on the first plane. Choka pilot.
We'll see you there, Choka. Yeah. I can't wait for the junior elder scene. Do I bring him a plate? Do I not? I don't know.
Yeah, he gets his own, I think.
Yeah.
or the junior elder like myself, like, just looks sad when the other elders are getting their plates. So yeah. I'll practice doing that. But yeah, appreciate you spending some time with us. And really, you're making us here. I know you're an old and a young employee, too. I got to give you a shout out on that. You and Dallas, which blows my mind. That organization's still going on, and I have a lot of former students that are working there. And and it's a great legacy that you had.
Yeah, thanks, man. It's freaking crazy to think about. Staying at Endi Young as a teenager, and then now I'm just like, I don't know, writing TV and getting flown around to be on it. I'm freaking blessed, man.
You are,
and my ancestors every day.
Pinigigi, you are blessed, and we're blessed to have you on. And thank you so much for all you do, and all the good words and the great spirit that comes through you and your characters and your writing. I really, really appreciate this time.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Oh my gosh, it's more fun than a big block of Colby or Cheddar. The Cripes Cast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media.